The trick is to make sure the water's ice cold before you put the spaghetti in.
Right, so how long is this meant to take to cook then?
How long are you willing to wait for the best spaghetti of your life?
Maximum 5 minutes.
Okay, well, it's going to take a little bit longer than that, because we're going to have to wait for the sun to come up.
Right, I've been wondering why we're doing Italian cooking lessons in the dark. Is this like a weird thing, or is this like properly
it's
what
not
we're meant
a weird
to be
thing.
It's not a weird
it
thing.
It feels weird, like.
It's not a weird thing, don't worry.
It's not a weird
thing. The Italians have never seen the sun.
You what?
The Italians have never seen the sun. Just because they show it as lit up on the map doesn't mean they get light.
No.
Right.
It's all
I'm
a tourism trap.
I feel like I've made a mistake. I feel like I'm doing a pasta lesson with, like, conspiracy theorists or something.
We are all Italians.
Yeah, all of us have never seen the sun.
My name's Giovanni.
My name is Martin.
And I'm Carl.
Right. Well, lovely to meet you.
Thank you. Lovely to meet you,
What's
too.
Your name?
My name's Deirdre, and honestly,
what
I
an Italian name.
I'm not Italian.
Have you considered citizenship?
I'm not
You're
Italian.
You're awfully pale.
I
like
I,
this, long hands for digging.
Like this wet spaghetti, not like this hard and dry spaghetti.
Do you know what? I have been to Italy before, and I'm going to be honest
with you.
Did
you
have
meet
seen the sun there?
Giovanni Jr., my son.
Stop bringing up your son at the lesson.
You'll never find him.
You'll never find your son. Why'd you leave if you wanted to find your son? Sorry, Deirdre.
He's thriving.
Right, there's a lot going on. I'm just waiting for the pasta, if I'm being honest.
It won't cook until the magma finds the pot.
The magma?
We're deep underground. The elevator went deep.
We've just been out for dinner.
Don't want to hear it.
It was massive, wasn't it?
It was really...
It was actually lovely.
Big,
will you all shut up? I'm trying to watch this show.
We've all seen Grease. We're just waiting for the songs.
We're waiting for them in silence.
Well, no, we'll have to get ourselves a bit hyped up.
I don't know if
get
I can...
Get hyped up at dinner. That's what the dinner part of the dinner and the show
like,
is for.
I feel like the dinner was eaten.
Food doesn't
was
excite
just
me. Music does. I'm tired of potatoes.
You didn't have to order potatoes.
Hasselback? I don't even know what that is. Why did I order that, dear?
You ordered a...
I ordered the Hasselback potatoes, but I don't understand what it is.
They brought him sea bass.
Truly, just don't care. I just want you...
When's the songs? That's what I want to know.
They are soon.
Are they happening?
Are, soon, but I am,
are we still doing
I
the
am
songs?
Tight.
Sorry,
I
are we
tight.
Are you guys going to sing along?
Can we ask the waiter? Hello? Are we still having the songs?
This isn't
is it still happening?
Are you going to sing along? This isn't a sing-along.
I'm singing along.
You're not singing along.
I'm singing... Well... Why are the words in the program if we're not singing along?
This isn't church. It's
answer
just
me
so that.
That
we can, you know,
what?
We can read along with it. They're not going to ask us to stand.
Yeah, but it's my church in a way.
Ladies and gentlemen, apologies. We just have a momentary delay. We had got the DVD for Grease with the sing-along karaoke lyrics from the library, and now that we have opened the case, we have seen that it is in fact the Sound of Music.
Oh.
Now, as we are aware, you have booked in to see Grease, so we have sent a member of staff running to the library to be able to get a copy of The Sound of Music in the hope that the DVD for Grease is within. Bear with us at this time, and we apologise for any inconvenience.
This is your fault, you know.
It can't possibly.
I know you booked both of those movies out, that you swapped it CDs.
This is very inconvenient.
How can I swap the CDs?
I'm not saying you're doing it intentionally.
It's very inconvenient.
Yeah, of course.
I'm inconvenient.
It's inconvenienced. I feel inconvenienced, but I think there's somebody here amongst us. Somebody here amongst us.
Were you trying to learn the songs in advance? Is that what it is?
It's not. It's not.
You were taking it out and you were trying to learn the songs just in case.
By looking at the CDs.
Yeah,
I took the CDs out of the box and, I osmosized lyrics into my mind from looking at the CDs.
Yeah, you admit it then.
No, I'm not admitting it. I'm saying that it's an insane proposition. It's an insane proposition for you to say I looked
shut
at
up,
CD.
Shut up, both of you. You know, all I said was, I'm going for dinner and a show. And you guys said,
Sure, when are we leaving? It wasn't an invite.
Of course,
I just wanted a quiet night.
Why would you have told us that?
Why would you say if you're not inviting us?
So you know I'm not going to be back till late. That was all.
You don't live with us. We don't care what time you go home. Why did you tell us that you were doing this if it wasn't for us to come with you?
I get worried.
You see?
It is true. I do get worried.
See,
I wonder what he's up to.
I get worried also. Of course I do.
It's true. You get worried.
Yeah, I get worried.
You know what?
Yeah,
I'm not really worried. He's worried.
I look in through the window
because he's the one who's worried. But
you look in through my window.
I get worried. We get worried.
We do look in the window, but just to see if you're okay.
Okay, you know what?
We have a rota.
This is why I said I'm going to be out because I'm going to be in a situation where my phone will be on silent for 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Because then we don't know if you're okay.
Because I'm watching a movie.
I want to know if you're fine.
I didn't swap the discs.
What?
You definitely swapped the discs.
I
know you did.
Swap the discs.
You do this all the time. I went to play Mario Kart, and instead it was Zelda. It's a different game. I wasn't happy.
Have you been osmosizing Zelda? Is that what's been happening? Are you trying to get that green man into your body again?
I had friends over. We can't play Zelda together.
Why not?
Because it's a one-player game. We all wanted to play Mario Kart.
It's about sharing the experience.
You embarrassed me.
It's about sharing the experience. You pass the controllers. You have a few laughs. One of you fights the big guy with the name that begins with G.
Have you ever seen you fight the big guy name begins with G?
Apologies, it's not battery.
It's Ganondorf.
We have sent a member of staff to the library. They have returned with a copy of The Sound of Music, and we have opened it, and there within is a copy of The Lion King.
No!
We know that this is, again, still not what you originally booked in for, so bear with us as we send the same member of staff back to return the copy of The Lion King, which was in The Sound of Music case, in the hopes of getting The Lion King DVD case that perhaps maybe the copy of Grease was there within. We apologize again for any inconvenience.
It isn't.
Folks, I'm a bit worried because it feels like you have not left this place and you think you're in Italy. And you're really not.
We're not in Italy. We're in an Italian restaurant.
I understand that. I really do, but you don't sound very Italian.
I've never seen Italian.
Whoa.
I'm
Italian guy.
What's wrong, Martin?
I just don't appreciate being said. I don't sound like I'm Italian. I'm clearly Italian.
You don't sound Italian, and like, okay, I'm not from here. I've just come over here for this workshop.
You're not from Italy, Abe?
I'm not from Italy, no. I'm not from Italy.
You could have fooled me.
I suppose you want one of those fake accents. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to denigrate myself.
Don't wave your hands around.
Right, I came over here just to do this workshop, a bit of fun, because, you know, I am a chef, so I'm trying to get better at Italian cuisine.
Oh, bit of magma.
Thank you, no
Looks
worries.
Looks like we got a bit of a bubble there.
Ooh, that's nice.
But that's nice. I'm a bit concerned because it shouldn't... As a chef, I do know that, like, pasta does not take that long to cook. And if you have...
It takes more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, you haven't waited on magma before.
No, I haven't, if I'm being honest. I haven't. But it is a bit worrying because we shouldn't be this close to magma, if
I'm
being honest.
I wouldn't be worried about ourselves. I'd be worried about the patrons 14 stories high than us.
So is this how this restaurant works? You take...
Take their orders.
You take... Okay.
Go down 14 stories into the Earth's core.
Is this via sort of steps, or is this via kind of an escalator or a lift?
Remember that black bag we put over your head?
I do, and I was a bit concerned then as well, if
Smelt
I'm being honest.
Of spices, did it not?
It
That's a spice bag.
Sorry, I just need a bag back as well.
Yeah, you can have it.
Oh, excuse me, it is Alberto. Excuse me being late. I cannot help but hear this new chef. Sounds as if she does not believe in our slow-cooked spaghetti.
Right. Just to clarify, I don't work here. I'm simply here for a workshop,
all right? Just a simple student who, for some reason, Alberto... You're not going to believe this. For some reason, Alberto... I could laugh. Alberto, this student has very presumptuous ways, has come to a school and yet seems to want to school the teachers, is that correct?
No, I'm just worried because honestly, we're underground, we're cooking with magma.
Yeah,
and
fancy.
You're blindfold, well, you didn't even blindfold me, you put an hood over my head. And it's a bit worrying because it doesn't feel like authentic Italian cuisine. It feels a bit more kidnappy.
No,
Alberto is so pleased you used the word feel. This is how old cooking should be done. You want your lights and your ovens. What about the magma and
yes.
the spaghetti? That is a slow cook with your art and not your impure heat from impure sources. Believe Alberto and his team of Bene Chef.
Yes, Alberto is from our Yorkshire division. And that the kidnapping is a bit of an English tradition, I know.
And for what it's worth, there's nothing more Italian than cooking underground. For the pasta came from flour, which came from the corn, which came from the earth, which came from the stone. So
okay, a lot of steps.
You want a lot of steps, you should go to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, which we have, but inverted, so the top's at the bottom.
Okay.
But it's right over here.
Well, that's lovely to know. It's nice to know when I hopefully leave this place.
You
what
can
to
leave
go
whenever
to.
You want.
You will.
Oh, no, I am hoping I am. I am really. But when you say that, it feels a bit weird. But I do feel like I am here to learn. But I think, you know, a good step for you as a kitchen would to have an oven. You know? How long are the customers meant to wait for their food?
Deirdre, first lesson of this.
Deirdre, first lesson of this.
No, no, perfectly reasonable.
It's just a bit rude, isn't it?
I'm sorry. I've got distracted by. I mean, we're wasting valuable cooking time. But first lesson of Italian cooking school is to stir and also watch the magma because it's eaten the entire pot and the food's ruined, really.
There's nothing better than a stout after a hard day's work.
Ooh, now I don't know about that. I'm having a nice white wine and I'm feeling relaxed.
It may relax you, but there's nothing that beats the creaminess of a stout.
I don't want creaminess after a long day. Why would you want creaminess? You want something like a soft lullaby.
Oh, no, have you been at the ragged depths of bits as I have? You need to smooth the joints from the inside with some creamy stout.
Now don't you tell me about sore joints. I've been a rodeo clown all my life and my joints are sore than anything you've ever felt. I don't know if you've ever been kicked by a mule, but a bull is 10 times worse.
I've never been kicked by a mule, but I've been shattered up by a few asses, and that means a bit of cream after a long day of having those asses on you, day in, day out, nothing better.
Gentlemen, have you decided if you'd like to order food?
Now, one second. That hilarious asses joke really got me grinning, and I haven't been looking at the menu.
I haven't looked at the menu either. I was thinking of that joke for a while.
Have you now? I thought you seemed distracted.
I'll give you a few more minutes.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. A rodeo?
Yeah. All my life.
Real bull or the ones that you just press a button and it spins around?
Oh, real bull. Yeah, they don't need clowns for the mechanical ones. Taking all my work.
You're a clown too.
What?
You're a clown too.
Rodeo clown. I distract the bull.
Isn't that what the Spanish boys do?
No, they fight them. I distract them between the rounds.
Between the rounds?
Between the rounds. Or if your Spanish fella fell to the ground. They don't like it when they get trampled, so I distract them.
Oh, for the children so they don't see the blood and viscera.
Ah, yeah.
Now, sir, have you decided if you'd like to order food yet?
Give us a minute.
We're getting to somewhere here. Yeah, a few more minutes,
I'll give you a few more minutes, yes.
Will you actually give us a few minutes, or will you be hovering?
Yeah, I'll be hovering right over here.
Clown rodeo.
Rodeo clown.
Sorry.
A clown rodeo. Now, I've never been in one of those. Seem like great fun.
I feel like I've been living under a rock.
Have I never talked about my work? How long have we known each other for, Derek?
Well, usually we just talk about wine and stouts and back and forth.
That's true.
I do like a pattern.
Yeah?
Can I just leave these specials boards with you, gentlemen?
No.
Okay.
You know, I never asked what you've done.
Oh, I dig trenches.
Trenches?
Pits.
I know what they are.
Colloquially, they're also known as drains, shucks.
So any kind of digging, really?
Any kind of digging.
Grave?
No.
No. So not any?
No.
Latrines?
No, I don't work with dead.
Latrines, the That's not the dead.
Oh, the trains?
The trains.
Well, they're a tunnel. So, yes.
Ah. Nice.
The kitchen is about to close, so if you'd like to place an order, you'd have to do it quite soon.
I'd have a thick stout.
You know what? In the spirit of getting to know you better, I'll take a thick stout, too.
I'm afraid we're all out of stouts.
I do not care for this establishment.
I've ordered the mussels.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, no.
I just have to do it.
The house is going to be stinking.
Is mussels code for something?
Are they talking about...
Do you think they're talking about drugs?
I thought they were talking about one of the henchmen. The
oh,
big one, you know, yeah.
Mr. Muscles.
Mr. Muscles, but they yeah, probably okay. just say Mr. Muscles. I think on this occasion, it is just Muscles.
Okay, we'll keep listening.
Garlic cream.
Garlic cream, it's cocaine.
Garlic cream.
It's not going to cancel out the shellfish algae. Come on now, Terry.
I can't help it. It's like it gets a hold of me. As soon as I see the word Muscles on the menu, I get a quiver.
Look.
Down below.
Look, Terry, when the mussels come out, I'll take them. You can take my quiche.
Have we wiretapped the right people? Is this all code?
I think so. I think that is the crime family.
Who set up the wiretap here? Was it you?
No, it was Bleven.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well...
Why'd you look like that?
It's Bleven.
Bleven's trying his best.
I know.
Something on your upper lip. I think it's butter. It may be facial hair, but I think it's butter.
You get it?
No.
That's me, the napkin. I don't want to use mine.
There you go.
Is that it now?
Nope.
I'm quite hungry.
I'm getting a bit hungry too,
to be
honest.
Do you think we can safe to leave the van? I don't think they're going to talk about any crimes.
Are you sure they're not talking about crimes right now?
Like, I don't think so.
It's gotten really cerebral, the crime speak. No.
I think they're just talking about dinner.
Okay, but maybe Mr. They're talking about how they whacked Mr. Muscles. Maybe that's what the quiver was about. I don't fucking know. I've been on this job 2 weeks.
You've been in this van for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't want to ask. With the smell.
Sorry.
No, sorry. No one should treat you like this. Come with me. I live 3 streets away. Use my shower. I'll make you a big plate of chips.
No, you have to listen to Miss...
They've been sitting in silence for a minute now.
No.
Jim Carrey.
I don't...
Who the
see,
fuck
we
is
don't
that?
Know. I
Who's
don't know.
That?
I don't know.
That could be someone important.
What, you know that film where he ends up going in boat? He's scared of water.
Oh,
he ends up going in boat.
Truman Show.
Can I just finish?
Oh, sorry.
Ends up going in boat, scared of water. Finds out sky is actually the side of a studio.
Yeah, that's Truman Show.
Nope.
Oh, this is Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Ventura, I think it was called.
It's the one where he's a detective.
They're both wrong. It's Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Do you want the red or the white wine? I kind of feel like a white.
It's code for cocaine, I think.
Yeah, do you want to bust in?
I've been in here for 2 weeks. I don't think my legs work anymore.
Oh my god.
But if you want to call the big wigs in.
The big wigs? The judges?
No.
Convict.
The pigs.
The pigs.
The big pigs.
You call our superiors big pigs?
All I'm saying is that for his whole life, Truman didn't realise he were being filmed. Didn't realise he was the star of a show.
I wish I was the star of a show.
Don't get above your station. Don't get above your station. Get off your high horse.
They definitely can't hear us, right?
Come down from above.
It does seem like...
Because that was a bit odd.
Yeah, thematically.
And Bleven isn't very good with technology.
Imagine we were being watched and people were watching us right now.
Maybe they're just lonely. Two lonely men.
You can feel it too. Are you getting a quiver in your lower regions?
That's where the mics are.
The mics? Bleven mic'd them around the lower
around
tummy.
The groin.
Oh, Bleven.
That's typical Bleven.
Typical Bleven. I thought I could believe in him. But he's just Bleven.
I could make it better than this.
What, this pasta?
Yeah. Mate, I'll cook you up a pasta you'd never believe.
I mean, I'm I don't exactly deny it. I ain't ever had your food before. But this is supposed to be a business meeting, but an interesting opening gambit there. Just
a bit bold to come into a chef's restaurant and start telling everybody how to make pasta.
Here, look, I'm keeping my voice down. I'm just talking to two of you. But you know what? If I had you in my kitchen, I'd cook you up a storm. Long pastas, short pastas, fat pastas, thin pastas. I'd be making.
You know they all have names.
No, they
every
don't.
Every single pasta is different.
They don't. Got a tagli.
Yeah, you got fusilli.
Sputacana, a little pradunt.
Can you describe the wee pradunt to me?
It's the small, sort of curly-whirly guy.
A little button of a pasta.
Little action man bow tie guy.
The wee buttons. Yeah. I know another wee buttons. Don't like the action man bow ties. They're disgusting.
That's
it. Stuck in my throat. I don't chew my pasta now.
Call it fugliant.
Best way to get the sauce into your guts, just by swallowing it whole.
I've heard this, but listen, you're the PR guy. I don't know how you sell pasta sauces.
Well,
we're simple chefs. Simple chefs.
If we're getting down to the meat of it, the way to sell any business is by talking about how to swallow pasta. Or swallow any sort of carbohydrate, if we're really talking about it.
So you've had success with other carbohydrates before. Maybe your breads, maybe your rolls, maybe your rice.
I don't do bread now.
You don't do breads.
Carbohydrate guy, you don't do breads.
No, I'm a potato and rice man.
Potato and rice. It's starch. Yeah, potatoes are starch. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's carbs in there. Is there not?
That's close enough.
Is there not carbs in potatoes?
What about your crisps? You do crisps?
You swallow crisps?
No.
You swallow crisps?
You can't swallow them whole. If you can't swallow it whole, I can't be representing you.
Listen, I feel like we got off to a bit of a rough start here. Maybe we order a little bottle of red, a bottle of white.
Hey, yeah.
You know, whatever kind of mood you're in tonight. You know, we'll get something from the bar.
You're not rhymed.
Well, it was an accident.
This guy spits bars like nobody's business.
All right. We might be able to use that.
You think we could use that on the air?
Who knows? We can't be promoting drinking, like.
Tell me this. What would you like? What's your preference?
Just a big bowl of wet pasta. I don't really care. I've been working my old throat. I can swallow any pasta they serve me, but I don't like sauce.
Wait, you just open your gullet and it just all goes down?
Oh, aye. You just bunch the spaghetti up and you push it down.
Could you swallow for me, sir, an entire lasagna, fresh from the oven?
No, I haven't done that in many a year. And to be honest, I'm not a big fan. The white sauce is fine, because it's basically like eating pasta but liquid. But the red sauce, that lets you know that it's not pasta. You know, it seems weird when it's red. You don't get red pasta. I've seen those inky pastas. You know, the pasta where they take the squid ink and they put it in the dough.
I've never heard of that, sir.
No. You don't want it. You don't want it. It doesn't look like pasta, and pasta's the only food. All other food's a lie. So, if you're wanting to eat normal pasta and you ask me what I wanted, I'd just, you know, a big bowl of wet spaghetti. Doesn't matter how you wet it, though.
Listen.
Wee bit of water, wee bit of butter. I don't care. Just push it down my throat.
How other would you wet it, sir?
Oh, no, you can boil it now. You have to boil the pasta. If you don't boil it, it's not soft. And you can't get it down your throat if it's not soft. But I don't like sauce.
This is all incredibly interesting here, but we are at a business meeting. This is supposed to be a transaction. You are here to do PR for this restaurant. And you've done so far is talk about how much you enjoy eating wet pasta.
I'm sorry. You sought me out. You came to me because I am responsible for the top 3 pasta restaurants in this region. Of this province, of this county in Ireland.
Look, nobody raps any finer. You always do the best stuff for your PR. That's why you're the best in the biz. But we gotta ask you, do we have to just make wet pasta? Or can we do our own chef stuff? Like, we like to make meals.
Cooking, normal cooking.
I see your question, and I raise you another question. Do you want dry pasta?
Al dente, yeah.
No, that just means slightly firm in the middle. I'm sorry.
Tell me this. Whenever you make a spaghetti bolognese, do you not just take a little bit of the dry pasta and just, chew on it?
And then I spit it right out. Spit it on the cooker, spit it on the wall. I don't care. But it's getting out of my mouth.
That's a very aggressive stance to take on spaghetti, sir.
Or any food at all, really. I argue, is a little abnormal. For somebody that works in the PR business for restaurants, you're coming into this place telling me you're spitting spaghetti on the wall.
How many restaurants have you represented in an advertising capacity?
I think you know the answer is none, sir.
Correct. And how many have I represented?
I think you know the answer is 6, sir.
It is 6. But they're all pretty good restaurants.
You're telling us that they're all dry pasta restaurants?
No, they're wet pasta restaurants.
Sorry,
I just don't like sauce. I don't like sauce that looks like sauce.
Are you serving lasagna with just wet sheets of pasta?
Wet sheets. A bit of a bechamel, but no tomatoes. Get out of here. Are you kidding me? No. We're talking ground boiled chicken and bechamel and pass the sheets.
You know, Davey, I mean, he's been so successful the previous six places. Like, I mean, do we go with this guy?
I don't think we... Well, we're going to just cook what this guy says we're going to cook. I thought he was going to do an advert for us. I thought he was going to come in here, take a couple of pictures. So you stirring the stuff. Some people eating the stuff.
Look, I can hear you. And my pictures, they're in black and white. So it doesn't matter what color your sauce is. It'll all look the same. Some delicious shade of gray.
I don't want to play with him anymore.
Okay, thank you so much, guys, for coming. I know waiter training can be quite difficult, but I think you guys really have what it takes to be the waiters for this really wonderful restaurant. Okay.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me, Delphine.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for saying that.
An interesting and informative teacher. Thank you for taking your time out today.
Well, you know, I work really hard in the restaurant business, and I'm really happy that you guys are working so hard to become really wonderful waiters. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if this is an appropriate time. Whenever a customer comes in and says, I have a deathly allergy to peanuts, are we supposed to change the menu for them or just kind of carry on and just like make a mental note of that?
Really good question. Thank you so much for asking me. Do you know what? I think it's a mix of both. You just don't give them anything that has peanuts in it, okay? So make a mental note. So if they say, could I get the peanut pasta with the peanut surprise? You go, hang on a second. This person told me they can't have peanuts.
Yeah, but if they know that they're allergic to peanuts and they order that, do they not deserve that?
I think they deserve what's coming to them. However, I think being publicly liable... This isn't for us. I mean, I would love to see someone with a peanut allergy choke on their words, saying, I know there's no peanut in that. I'd love to say, go for it. You go for it. However, we really do have to think about the brand and the restaurant. So I think if someone says, I have a nut allergy or a dairy allergy or a gluten allergy, if they're being a smart ass about it, yeah, it can be really tempting to let them choke on their words. However, I really think it's best practice to not allow them to die in our restaurant. But really good question.
And how much free food do we get?
So,
when I'm just there, like, no, can I just nibble? Before or after, I'm easy.
Okay, what's worrying me there is before or after.
Yeah.
So what we really don't want to do is have...
A little nibble. If they make a lasagna, I just take a wee corner.
No. Okay,
just a little corner.
So even like, I know it's tempting. I really do know it's tempting to have a little corner here, a little chip here. However, what we really want to do...
One touch potato.
No, we just don't want to touch our customers' food.
How do we know that they're not dying from it? What if it's been poisoned?
Yeah, what if there's peanuts in it and we're just picking them out?
Gotta taste test it.
Okay, guys, this is a really good question. I'm really glad we're doing this.
I can eat the whole peanut away from them.
That's fair. Okay, I can see where you're coming from there. Okay. However, what we're not going to do... So, our chefs, you've met them, yeah? What they're not going to do is poison the food, okay? They're not poisoning it, guys. And it's a really good question. I love questions. I love getting questions from you guys. It really makes my job worthwhile. But they don't poison the food. So what we don't need to do is try the food to see if it's poisoned. Okay, but very good question. Thank you for asking me, though.
Okay, but if they order the fish and then they say after the meal that they're allergic to fish... as they're being taken into the ambulance, what am I supposed to do? Yes, this is relevant to something that happened last week.
I completely understand that. This has happened to me before. Someone saying, I'm allergic to pine nuts, like putting their fist in the air. Like, I get this. I really do understand this. Thank you so much for your question. So if they're saying this to you as they're being rolled into the ambulance by the paramedics, what we do is deny. So we don't let them know, we don't let them have anything, we don't give them anything that their lawyers can use, because heck, we know they love that.
Yeah.
What we really want them to do is really reflect. So our ethos as a restaurant is to really let people reflect on what they're doing and really reflect on the food and everything, but also their own behaviour. And I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, okay, so what if they have they've ordered the peanut and then I try the peanut? Just a little nibble, a little corner of the nibble of the peanut, and then my allergies play up. Because I'm deathly allergic to the peanut. What happens if I take just a little nibble?
Okay, this is a really great question. I really love this question. So what we're not going to do on the premises is consume foods we're allergic to. So if you know in your head that you're allergic to it, don't eat it.
I don't know what they've ordered. I'm just giving them the food.
Okay, so I think this is a really good point. So our best practices is to not eat the customer's food, and our other best practice is to not eat foods you're allergic to. So I think if you really follow those two lines of thought, you're going to be absolutely fine. Don't even worry about it.
Don't eat any customers that I'm allergic to. Got it? Clear. We're good.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Daphne.
Yes.
All right, pal. This has been fantastic. I have to say, you're a great teacher. I just wanted to ask about dog hair.
Great so line of questioning.
If I were out the back, right, of the restaurant, petting my dog, right, who's here with me, right, good big fella. Now, I'm petting him, stroking him behind the ears and such. I were to come in, the customer comes first, right?
Of course,
I get straight back to work without even washing my hands. Now, the waiter at the time, I'm in the right, right?
I think so.
Okay.
We all agree with that, right?
Guys, I'm going to put this really simply for you guys. When you touch a dirty animal, or when you touch a dirty appliance...
Oh, he's clean-like.
Yeah, okay. Nathan's dog's clean.
Okay, understand that, though. It's still a dog. It's still a dog, isn't it? So what we're going to do is we're going to wash our hands so we don't kill any of our customers. Like, that's our best practice. We've got to keep that in mind. So when you're stroking your dirty dog, you just must remember, like, to wash your hands and get that out of the way, okay? And
for
also,
sure,
don't
for sure.
bring your dog into work.
Well,
if that's okay.
He is quite poorly at the minute, actually, which is part of the reason that he's here. He's been going bald on the ears.
That's great, because most people do not have an allergy to bald dogs.
I have a confession to make. So your dog was being a wee bit of a bastard to me.
That's his name as well there, Bastard.
Wee bastard. Well, he was living up to his name, and he bit me on the ear, and I said, you know what you do? You bite him right back. So I've been biting him every single day.
You haven't been biting my bastard, have you?
I've been biting your bastard on his wee ears. And to be honest, I'm taking a lot of the hair with me. So I don't know if it's more of a medical issue or a me issue.
Guys, I feel like this is a really good bonding opportunity right now. You know, as a team, we have to think about how we treat each other, how we treat ourselves, but also how we treat our pets. So what we're not going to do is take chunks out of our colleagues' dogs, cats,
his dog
rabbits.
Respects me now. And to be fair, I do not respect myself. So I need it to pick me up from his dog.
And I think, you know, we have to think about how we're treating ourselves as well. So if you don't respect yourselves, don't bite a dog until it bleeds.
This guy, you've been trying to just wedge yourself between the hierarchy of me and my dog since the day we've met. It is the strangest thing, man.
I hate myself for it, and I keep going for those peanut lasagnas in recompense.
Okay, I can understand this. Guys, we're really sorting stuff out today. I'm really happy we did this. So what we're not going to do is get in the way of hierarchy either. So obviously, I'm teaching you guys, there's the chef, but what we really do need to think about in our heads is if our colleagues have any kind of hierarchy they're trying to uphold. So maybe think about, so if I had a cat, I have a cat, guys. If I had a cat,
for real,
what would that make me? Like, what would I not want my colleagues in this restaurant to do if I had a cat?
Bad person.
Be a cat person. Completely. Yeah, no, definitely. But also, would I not want them to get in the way the relationship of me and my cat?
All right, she's away.
Is that something that I would want, guys? Like, I really think this is a time for personal reflection, okay?
Yeah.
Delphine, just one question, more on the customer side of things, really.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
I think we've all, and we can agree that sometimes customers can be just a pain in the arse. So if we're...
Massive cunts, yeah.
Yeah, if we're on a beverage service and they're just being a bit of a dick, is it okay if we just, whoop, a little bit of red wine over the shoulder? Or even on the food service, guys, and I know that I've done this, is drop a little hot potato in their lap, especially on a first date, am I right?
I'll bite them in the ear.
Mm.
Okay, so what we're not going to do, this is a really good question, guys, and I'm really glad you brought it up. So what we don't want to do, as people who are in the service industry, yeah, okay, is that we don't want to seek revenge, okay? We don't want to seek revenge, and I can completely understand where you guys are coming from. But what we're not going to do is really physically harm the people who come to the restaurant.
For sure. But Delphine,
for sure. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Delphine, what if, let's say, that's your ex-partner that's there that cheated on you relentlessly for 4 years and they've come in with a date who's not a scratch on yourself, I suppose.
A downgrade.
A downgrade, yes, thank you. Yeah. You're always so good at words.
Thank you so much.
Then, I don't know, a nice Chianti on the lap, just on the tablecloth, would that be?
See, this is really difficult, and I completely understand this. And, like, in my line of work, like, I work with people, and I hear this a lot. So, like, what are we going to do? So, like, workplace relationships, like, trying to, like, navigate relationships in the workplace. I completely understand this. I think if they have cheated on you multiple times, but are also with a munter, like, what you can do...
You don't like it, is Delphine?
What you can do completely 100% is scold them slightly. I think just to make them on the same level as their date, I honestly think it's a nice thing to just sort of put a bit of hot water on them. It may make them think about things. I know I've done that with my ex-boyfriend. I put a bit of hot water on him and he's like, whoa, what the fuck am I doing with my secretary? And I was like, I don't know, we're married. And it was a lot. But really, you really just have to like whack them in these things. It's a situation to situation basis. If someone who's just cheated on you once, I think just a splash of red wine in the eye can really open their eyes. But if it's someone who's been an absolute dick to you multiple times and just won't stop shagging their secretary, who was a manta, by the way, I think putting scalding hot soup on their lap can be slightly okay. Is that all right? Is that okay in response to the question?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Delphine, you're recommending us to upsell the sizzling hot plates then?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, definitely. We're going for something more tapas-based. We're going for something more Spanish, you know what I mean? And I really think those ones are really what we're looking for.
For sure. Delphine, now, if your ex were to come to the restaurant, right, approaching in an Apache helicopter.
Guns
blazing, tearing up the top floor, absolutely blowing the bricks to pieces. Blood,
yeah, complete
guts.
Annihilation. No, definitely.
For
sure. You mean. Complete
and he,
annihilation.
They approach, right, and then they land in the mess, the rubble of the top floor of the restaurant, and they're coming down. Ropes dropping, blasting through the windows. And you're there. You're the server. Your ex-boyfriend comes in with an AK-47 machine gun and he starts lighting people up. What would you do?
You ask them if they have a reservation.
It's update time with Conlith. I'm on my phone outside again because I don't have access to my equipment currently, but this I needed to do this closing credits thing anyway, so here we go. First off, I'm going to start up with a shout out to another show here. If any of you haven't heard of a show called Last Dance, if you haven't listened to that before, cannot recommend it highly enough. It's a high fantasy audio drama, and it's made by some incredibly talented folk that I know in Belfast. You can find it anywhere you listen to your podcast, so if you're listening to this, you can search Last Dance right away on whatever you're listening to this on, and find it. It's incredibly sound designed, incredibly acted, oh, it's so fucking good. It's not improvised or like the silly nonsense from this show, it's an actual well-done production. But as of today, they have released episode 12. Well, they released it last week, but as of today, of the day that I am talking to you right now, they released episode 12 of their first season, which is the penultimate episode. But season 1 will be out soon for them. And why am I talking about it? Other than the fact that it's an unbelievably good show. I was a fan of it before I was ever on it. And that's right, in episode 12, you'll hear four familiar voices as myself, Patrick Meyer, Amelia Price, and Christine Clark. We were all lucky enough to feature in episode 12. So do follow Last Dance on Instagram and Blue Sky and all that sort of stuff, and go listen to them so that you can hear in episode 12 me. But another shout out to another one of the cast members from this very episode, J.R. McCormick, who has started up a production company with Clark Phillips called Felbrin Studios. So if you follow them on Instagram and Blue Sky, those guys, that is two guys on a serious mission, and that mission is to produce some absolutely rad audio content. We recorded the pilot episode for a show that they're putting together, and my God, it's going to be so good. Can't reveal any sort of dates, times, names of it, or anything about it yet. I will leave that to the guys at Felbrin to do. But we recorded the pilot with a few of the Backed and Bracken alumni. I won't even tell you who did it, but trust me, it is so fucking funny. We were laughing our entire way through it. And if you enjoy Backed and Bracken, you're going to lose your mind at this show. It's just so bloody funny, and it's a phenomenal concept for a show, so I'm very excited. So please do follow Felbrin Studios for some awesome new shows coming out. Anyway, back to Dunbracken. And yeah, because in case you've been wondering why the episode drops have been a little less frequent or irregular at times, I have officially completed my move from Ireland to Pennsylvania, so congratulations to me for that. Hopefully once things calm down, I'll be able to get back to the fortnightly Tuesday release schedule that we all know and love. In anticipation of the move, I recorded an absolute smorgasbord. I was a man possessed with the spirit of an audio mixer and four mics, running around different people's houses and recording a bunch more stuff with a load of people. And I have a good 20 or so episodes worth of content that I will be... Well, I haven't edited yet because I'm only one man, and as I say, I've been very, very busy. But I have a bunch of episodes in the pipeline, and by the time that I get through all that, I'll probably be back holidaying in Ireland, and I'll be able to record more stuff with those people. And there's always that fun technology called the World Wide Web that I can record online too with them. So this show ain't going anywhere. I think that's everything. Oh no, it isn't actually everything. As of this moment, I have decided to just make a little Discord for the show, which I will put in the show notes. Anything I've talked about will also be in the show notes. It's brand new. It'll probably die in death. But I figured I'd just put it together, keep in touch with people and chat about the show. And maybe we'll do, as like episodes release, maybe do some like live listens and whatnot and different things like that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is yet, but it's a place to chat. I'm almost finished editing the live show, which has taken longer than I'd have liked. But again, I've been very, very busy. The quality of the video and the audio is unbelievable, so that'll be put up on YouTube at some point. Or maybe we'll do like a live watch of that whenever I release. I'm very close to finishing, but it'll probably be 2 weeks before I actually get the live episodes out, because it's a full 2 hours of stuff. Yeah, I think that's everything. So that is all the information, and this episode featured a classic bumper cast of what, 16 people? What, 16 people lending their voices, which is par for the course at this point. But they were Patrick Meyer, Laura Conlon, Eddie Goodwin, Amelia Price, Claire Thompson, Andrew Robinson, J.R. McCormick, Aidan Kelly, Aaron Marshall, Niall McKenna, Megan Scott, Eddie Goodwin, Phil Greaves, Min Witz, David McCauley, and Owen Fox. The opening credit song and the end credit songs were both by Connor Mallon. As always, they're incredible. You can check the entire album out. Unearthed. The album is called Unearthed, and you can check it out on Spotify. That is where I leave you, and I hope you come back to Dunbracken very soon. That wasn't a very smooth transition end, but here we go. I'm ending it. Goodbye.